that chapter. Lord's help this morning, I want to just share something with you that the Lord kind of put the thought in my heart, these verses in my mind this week during the course of the youth camp. And it's not a youth camp message. It is a message I felt like I need to bring back for our church. But we're going to look here in Acts chapter number 18 in just a moment and begin reading there in verse number 24. But as you're turning there, and we're going to read in a moment, have you ever met someone who knew a lot, but they couldn't be told anything? Or maybe somebody who thought they knew a lot more than they actually did. You know, they had all the answers. They had all the credentials. One man called that resume qualities. You know, they could write a mean resume when it comes to fleshing it out. They didn't quite have the goods to back it up. Maybe the confidence. You know, I met people with all kinds of confidence. I still tell people, you know, these preachers that can get up there and they go live on Facebook all the time and, you know, every single day. Just, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not preaching against social media. I said, but oh, to have the confidence to be able to do it. I said, I don't have that kind of confidence. I don't even like doing videos most of the time. I will do them, but some people are like that. They have no space for correction or growth. And that's a very precarious place to be, especially spiritually. Because there is a subtle temptation that we all face, especially the longer that we serve the Lord and the more knowledge that we gain from that experience. And then that is the temptation to become unteachable. You know, we've been studying there in Sunday school, the church there in Thessalonica. From what I can see and what I read there in the book of Acts, Paul was probably only at that church maybe a month, maybe a little longer, but he was not there very long. That church was established, but yet we see them going forward and growing. Oh, this morning we're going to look at a truly remarkable man by the name of Apollos. And I began to think about him the other day during one of the messages. It really has nothing to do with what was being preached, but it just came to my mind, and I began to pull up the scripture so I could read through this. And I read about Apollos again. This man here in the book of Acts, when we first introduced to him, he's very gifted in his ability. The Bible says he's eloquent in speech. It even goes so far as to say he is mighty in the scriptures. He's truly a strong communicator who was bold, passionate, and even well-educated. But what I believe that makes Apollos stand out is his spirit. In spite of being gifted, eloquent, and even mighty in the scriptures, he was still teachable. Apollos was willing to sit down and learn. He was powerful, but yet still pliable, if I could say it that way. Powerful, yet still pliable. He had a voice, but he was still willing to listen. He was a teacher, but he was still willing to go to school. And that's the title of today's message with the Lord's help, when the teacher goes to school. When the teacher goes to school. Let's pray before we read this morning. We'll switch it up a little bit and ask God's help both with the reading and the preaching of his word. Father, we thank you today. I believe that the example of Apollos is included in your word for our instruction in righteousness. And Lord, I look around this room and I see saints of God, many of which have served you for many years, some which served you longer than I've been alive. And I give you praise for that testimony. But Lord, if we can learn anything from Apollos this morning, is that we are to all have a teachable spirit. And I pray that you'd help us in this regard. I felt the leading today to go down this direction. And I pray that you'd help me to communicate this in a manner that's both pleasing to you and helpful to this people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's read Acts 18, verse number 24. If you're there, say amen. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren rode, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, shewing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Can you say amen to God's word this morning? As I said, when the teacher goes to school, in this brief but powerful account, we were reminded of some of these essential truths in the Word of God. First of all, that no one ever graduates from the school of God's Spirit. Second of all, that being teachable is not a sign of weakness or a lack of knowledge, but it is truly a mark of maturity. And finally, that God's greatest work in us often happens when we're humble enough to admit we don't know it all. How many today would be so bold as to say, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I got things that I need to go and understand better. I hope you're willing to do that. So first of all, this morning, I want to look at the standing of Apollos. Let's consider this man that we're introduced to here in Acts 18, verses 24 through 25, and let's look at his background first of all. Luke introduces Apollos by telling us where he is from, and it's important to note this. This isn't just simply a geographical note. It says he is from the city of Alexandria, one of the many cities throughout the region that had received a name from Alexander the Great. It was a city that had received its name from Alexander the Great, but also it was a city known throughout the Roman world as a center of learning and scholarship. In fact, if you were to go and study and look into the city of Alexandria, you would find that there was a great library of Alexandria. At that time, in the first century, it was one of the largest and most influential centers of knowledge in the ancient world. Alexandria was also a melting pot of Greek philosophy, Jewish theology, and Egyptian culture. Those three things combined together to create kind of a melting pot of great thinkers of that day. In the Library of Alexandria, there would be volumes written, which was very unusual for that time. It'd be written on scrolls by many of the great thinkers of both that time and of times past. It produced thinkers like Philo, who tried to blend Greek philosophy with Jewish teaching. That tells us something about Apollos to begin with. That's why I say even the geography in the Bible is important to pay attention to. I'm not saying everything we might get the same amount of nuggets from, but even here we learn something from this man's background. It tells us that he didn't just grow up in the local synagogue, but he grew up surrounded by many of the great ideas of that time. He was a well-read, possibly an intellectually sharp and a deeply thoughtful man. He likely had a lot of formal training, a broad worldview, and a sharpened mind. Now, we know that he was a believer in God, but he also understood the times. He was a man who had an understanding of the society that surrounded him. How many know if we're going to live in this world, we must understand the world that we live in? I'm not here to tell you we're to steep ourselves in culture, but we are to understand where the culture is, to put our finger on the pulse of it so that we can better understand how we can take the message of Jesus Christ and bring it to the common folk that are around us. And this man by the name of Apollos understood how to do that. He had the understanding of the culture around him. He didn't just come to Ephesus with zeal. He came with some credentials. Thank God we need people with zeal in this hour. We need people who are on fire for God, but we also need people whose zeal is tempered by the knowledge of the Word of God. And this man had both. He was a man whose background pointed to both zeal and knowledge. But we also are told about his ability. Luke piles up a list of qualities that made Apollos impressive. Look with me there in the scriptures if you'd like, and just listen to how Luke describes this man, Apollos, when he first introduces him. He said he was an eloquent man. Now, when we think of the word eloquent, I'm not going to ask you to respond out loud, but just think of that word eloquent. What comes to mind? What's the first thought comes to mind when you think of someone being eloquent? That word logios in the Greek, not just a smooth talker, but it was someone skilled in reason and rhetoric. He could articulate truth with precision and persuasion. In other words, he knew how to take his point and drive it home to a people. He was able to take his words and bring them to a desired end. He was eloquent. The Bible also says even greater than his eloquence, oh, I believe, is that he was mighty in the scriptures. This man knew his Bible. The word dunatos means mighty here. It implies power, not just familiarity. He didn't dabble in the scriptures. He knew how to wield the sword of the scriptures. He knew how to take the word of God and bring application from the very living word of God. He was mighty in the scriptures. But not only that, he was instructed in the ways of the Lord. He had been formally trained, perhaps, in the teaching about God. At very least, he had received some instruction from a teacher, which allowed him to understand more of what God had communicated through his self-revelation, which is the Word of God. How many believe it's important to be well instructed in the Word of God? Not just to know what it says, but to know why it says it and how to apply it to our lives. This was the man Apollos. He knew not only what it says, but why it said it and how to apply it to life. We're told he was fervent in spirit. Already mentioned that. Literally, that word fervent means boiling over in spirit. His heart burned with conviction. He wasn't just smart. He was passionate about the things he spoke of. And finally, we are told that he taught diligently the things of the Lord. He was a serious teacher that was committed to precision and clarity when he was teaching the word of God. He spoke from conviction, not just from self-confidence. Oh, yes. As believers, we need to be more than just self-confident. We need to speak from our convictions. I not only know what it says, I know why it says it. And here is where I'm going to stand on the scriptures and nothing. This will be a hill I die on, so to speak. I have confidence in what I am speaking. Oh, away with all the mealy-mouthed defenses of the gospel in this hour. Away with it. Oh, present the word of God what it says and stand upon the word of God. I don't care if the culture says it's outdated. I don't care if the world says that we're going the wrong direction. I don't care if they say get with the revolution or we're going to cancel your churches and we're going to close your doors. Let them say what they're going to say, but we're going to stand on the word of God. And there, to the day that he comes or calls us, our convictions will lie and we will stand upon the word of God. In other words, Apollos had the total package. A sharp mind, a burning heart, a powerful voice. But most importantly, he had a faithful message. He was backed by the word of God. I've met people who had sharp minds, burning hearts, and a powerful voice, and they had the wrong message. And I can tell you, if that's the case, it doesn't matter what's coming out your mouth. If the message is wrong, it don't matter how devout the man is. The message and the man must line up together. And here was a man who was the total package. He was the man, and he also had the right message. This man wasn't a beginner. He is already a leader. And by many modern standards, he might have been the next camp meeting speaker, the next seminary professor, or perhaps a successful pastor. I could hear them as they're talking about Apollo, some of them, as they heard him, how eloquent this man is. But he's not just eloquent. He gets up and he burns with passion as he is proclaiming the word of God. We ought to vote him as the next pastor. He has all that ability, all that eloquence. Imagine the souls that he'll be able to win for the Lord. Look how devout he is to his convictions. He don't back down when the others are trying to tell him, oh, why are you looking for the promise of a Messiah? He don't back down from it. He stands upon the word of God. He should be the next camp meeting preacher. The next time we need somebody to preach a Pentecostal sermon and for 3,000 to get saved, Apollos is your man. He's got the whole package. Oh, but as impressive as he was, there's still something missing here, isn't there? As sharp as his mind is, as fervent as his heart is, as powerful as his message, as eloquent as his speech, something is still missing. He was incomplete. Because the Bible tells us he knew only the baptism of John. I taught on that the other week. This one sentence changes everything. It tells us that Apollos had sincere beliefs. He had a passionate delivery, and his doctrine was sound up until the point that he understood. He knew repentance through John's baptism. He likely knew the promise of the coming Messiah, but he didn't know the fulfillment in Jesus' death, resurrection, and he had not yet accepted the outpouring of God's Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Fervent, but incomplete. Fervent, but if I could say it this way, not yet filled. Oh, God, help us in this hour. How many believers do we got that, man, they can speak the words well when they're put on the spot? Their heart burns with passion. Their minds are sharp because they have received good instruction. But there's still something that has not quite complete in their lives. This was the man Apollos. You wouldn't have got him to stumble on his doctrine because he knew what he believed and he stood upon what he believed. Apollos was preaching Old Testament hope without the New Testament fulfillment. He had only part of the gospel, but not the whole thing. He was like someone passionately singing a song, but only knowing the first verse to it. I've told you before, I don't always remember all every word to some of the songs we sing. Now, most of the ones that we've sung a lot, I can remember the words to. But some of them I hadn't heard in a while, and I'll just break out and I'll start singing. And I'll get to the end of the first verse, and I realize I don't know what the rest of the song says. And sometime if I'm feeling it strong enough, I'll just start making up my own words. No offense to that author. I'm sure they did a lot better job when they were writing it the first time. But I'm telling you, I get to feel in the presence of the Lord. I just sing it anyway. My wife says, the other night I was singing something, and she looked at me and she shook her head. She said, you don't know how hard it is right now for me not to correct you. You just butchered that line. I said, that's okay. Praise the Lord anyway. Because the Lord knows I'm not singing to entertain her. She can sing a lot better than I can. We're going to talk about entertainment. I'll let her entertain me, but we're not talking about entertainment. We're talking about praising God. Amen. Oh, but think about a person who only knows the first verse of that song and they sing it with all their gusto. That's the way he was here. He knew the first verse. He knew what that first act of the Old Testament told about. How Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 said that there was going to come one who was going to crush the head of the serpent. He could have took you to Isaiah chapter 53 and told you about a suffering servant upon whom God was going to place the iniquity of all mankind. He could have took you to Zechariah chapter 14 and told you about a shepherd that would be smitten. Oh, but and the sheep would look like they're going to be scattered, but God was going to raise up the shepherd. He could have walked them through those passages, but he only had the first act. He only had part of the fulfillment. Somebody said, Brother Shane, we were talking about the other day. As I said, this week we were... There was no doubt if you visited that youth camp this week that that was a Pentecostal youth camp. There was no doubt. I don't think there was one of the services anybody could have walked away and said, I wonder what those people, if they're some of those Pentecostal folks, if they knew what Pentecost was. And I'm not here to tell you that everybody who doesn't know about Pentecost and how the Spirit of God moves, I'm not here to tell you that they're all going to hell. I'm not here to tell you that they don't serve the same Jesus that we serve, because I believe many of them do. But you know what I'm praying? I'm praying in this hour like Apollos, someone would find out, oh, it's just not the complete message. There is more to the story. Oh, I'm here to tell you, we are to fill in the gaps for those who don't have the full understanding. But not only that, for those of us sitting in the pews, if there is something differing between our experience and our belief system, if there's gaps between what we have experienced and what we say we believe, there is room to grow. If we affirm the bylaws of this church and we believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, I would tell you, if you've never gone through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm not here denying your experience. I'm not here to tell you that you have not received something from God, but I am here to tell you there's more to the story. God wants to write another chapter and receive what God has promised through the power of His Spirit. You say, Brother Shane, I've heard about, even as recently as Pastor Glenn's funeral, I heard about those powerful miracles that God done back in the day. Do you think God still does those type of miracles? Oh, yes, He does. This very week, I've watched it happen. I'm not going to go into all the details. I just tell you, I watched it happen. Because Lord willing, we're going to hear more about it maybe tonight. Brother Nick's on his way back. The Lord done something for him this very week. Oh, I can tell you right here. Last November, I had been dealing with my sciatic nerve. It's not something I made up. It's not something I had pretended. My back, when I fell on the floor, Joyce, was completely black and blue. And for nearly 2.5 months, I walked around with a limp. But standing right there on a Sunday morning, the heaven came down. The glory of God touched me, and I haven't walked with a limp on that side anymore. My other side's hurt a little bit, but I'll tell you one thing. I haven't had one pain in this side because God did it. He's still doing it. Let's see what God will do and let Him write the rest of the story. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, but there's something here I want to say that's so important about Apollos. He had part of the gospel, but not the whole thing. But yet, God was still using him. He was limited, but he was available. He was missing something, but he was moving forward in what he had. I would rather give me somebody who is limited in their understanding, but they're available to God, versus somebody who thinks they have it all figured out and they're not available to God. Give me a soul that's hungry and says, I need bread from heaven. Unless God gives me bread to eat, I will die. Versus somebody who says, I'm already full and I have no need for that sermon. I have no need for that lesson. I have no need for that worship service. I have no need for the saints and the fellowship of the saints. Oh, God, give me somebody who says, I need more. I've got to grow. I've got to continue. This thing isn't over yet. Oh, hallelujah. Apollos teaches us something vital. God doesn't just use the gifted. He uses the teachable. I'm going to say that one more time. You say, Brother Shane, I don't know if I could ever get up there and teach Sunday school like Brother Tom Neff. I don't know if I could ever get up there and lead singing like Sister Amy Maurer. You might not. But God doesn't just use the gifted. He uses the teachable. People who are willing to say, you know what, Lord? I may not have this particular gifting, but I do have a gifting. And if you will just use me for your glory, use me however you see fit. Vessels unto honor that are fit and meet for the master's use. That's what God needs, not people who are necessarily gifted, because I firmly believe that God will give you the gifting that you need to do what He has called you to do. He hasn't gifted you to do certain things. That does not mean He has not gifted you. Just got to find your gifts and operate as God has called. Oh, God doesn't just use the gifted. He uses the teachable. God, great standing doesn't eliminate the need for deeper understanding. So what happens when the great teacher encounters truth he hasn't yet grasped? That brings us to our second point this morning. And I want us to look at this, verse number 26. I want to read it one more time here. Chapter 18, verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. I want to look at the spirit of teachable humility. He spoke boldly but humbly received instruction. That's what I tell people as a pastor. I get behind this pulpit and I speak boldly about things that I am assured of. But I'm also called to humbly accept instruction if it's from the Lord. And I see that here in Apollos. He was a man who followed through with that. He could stand and speak boldly about truth, but also humbly receive instruction from those who understood more than he did. He stood in the synagogue and boldly declared what he believed to be the truth of God. That takes courage. That takes conviction. That takes confidence. But here's where the real power of his character is seen. Not in his boldness to speak, but in his humility to listen. How many people in the church get to the place that they don't feel like they need to listen anymore? Oh, I have. I faced them down in church house, not here. I faced them down in church house. And people 2 and 3 times my age. And they feel like, what is that preacher possibly have to say to me? I'm way older than him. I'm here to tell you, if I'm preaching the word of God, it ain't about what I'm saying. It's about what God has already declared. Oh, we need teachable spirits. I thank God there exist here in this church people who are willing to be taught. And I want to perpetuate that. That's part of the reason why I'm preaching this morning. I heard Pastor Glenn say something in Sunday school about 3 or 4 months ago. Maybe just a little bit before he wasn't able to teach much anymore. And he said something. He said, you got to remind people what they're all about because they're mighty prone to forget. Coming from a man who was 94 years old, or at that point he wasn't quite 94, he was almost there. He knew something about something. Man, he knew a thing or two. Oh, we need people who, whenever they hear the same thing over and over again, they'll receive it like it's the first time they've ever heard it and say, you know what, preacher? You're absolutely right. I need to put this into action in my life, because if God has led you to preach it, obviously somebody needs to hear it. I don't preach to red pews. I preach to people with 2 ears and 1 heart. And an eternal soul that's going to live on somewhere. And I'm not just here to try and tickle your ears. I'm here to try and, through the word of God, touch your heart and change your life by the power of God's word and by the power of God's spirit. Most people don't mind teaching, but few enjoy being corrected, especially when they already have a reputation, especially when they're already involved in ministry, especially when they have a strong education, especially when they have other people following behind them. They don't like to be corrected or instructed. There's a natural resistance to it. If you're not careful, and if you don't crucify this flesh and keep it dead, I like what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said, it's really not too hard to convince people to crucify their flesh. He said, because if the Spirit of God convinces them, they have no other choice but to deny the power of God completely. But he said the hard part is getting people not to crawl off the altar and come down off the cross, because people don't like to live crucified. It's okay when the preacher's preaching and the Spirit of God's moving and the song leader's singing the song that we like and the joy of the Lord's filling our hearts. You know what? We'll say, God, I'll give you everything. You can have my life. You can have my lips. You can have all that I am. But then you walk out there into that world and have to live it. And then we want to take the sacrifice off the altar and begin to live in accordance with how we see fit. And yet Apollos didn't resist. He didn't get offensive. He didn't pull rank or try to belittle Priscilla and Aquila. You know what I believe he could have said? Who are you to try and tell me something about the Word of God? He'd have been wrong, but I believe he could have said it. You know, who are you to try and teach me? What's your credentials? Are you an apostle? Are you a pastor? No, neither one. They were just lay ministers within the church. He didn't get defensive or argue. Oh, he could have said, I've been preaching longer than you. I'm from Alexandria. You're just a bunch of tent makers. But he didn't resist. He listened. He received. He grew. Can I say, teachable people listen even if they are leading. The greatest leaders are the best learners. Apollos had something even greater than eloquence and biblical knowledge. He had a teachable spirit. And that is a rare and precious gift in the kingdom of God. People who will take the word and say, Lord, if this word contradicts me, let it contradict me. If it slices me in two and it divides asunder both soul and spirit, let it do its work, because your word is always right. Men are not always right. Oh, churches are not always right. Bylaws may not always be right. Doctrines are not always right. But the word of God is always right. What does he say? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Ooh, hallelujah. How do we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? We not only know what this book says, but we know what it means and we live it. That's one other way in which we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. Apollos had something even greater than eloquence and biblical knowledge. He had that teachable spirit. And that is truly a rare gift in the kingdom of God. But I want to note really quickly, this is not the emphasis of my message and I'm almost done. I want to look at Aquila and Priscilla, these lay ministers with a teaching spirit. Let's look at the other side of this encounter. If you will, we'll flip it over on its head and look at Aquila and Priscilla. They weren't public speakers or apostles. They were just simple lay people whose lives had been touched by the power of the gospel through the preaching of the apostle Paul. They were tent makers by trade, disciples by calling, and teachers by the leading of the Spirit. I could say it today, we need some more Aquilas and Priscillas. Some lay people who may never get behind a pulpit and preach and teach. Oh, they may have a job at the shipyard. They may not have a job any longer. They may be retired. But we need some that have and are willing to teach as God opens the door. Tent makers by trade, disciples by calling, and teachers under the leading of God's Spirit. They had said under the teaching of Paul. You find that in Acts chapter 2 or chapter 18 verses 2 through 3. And they clearly absorbed the gospel deeply. They had heard Apollos preach and they recognized that something was missing. Nothing was malicious. Nothing was heretical. Just incomplete. Can I remind us sometimes? Not everything that's incomplete is heresy. Not everything that's incomplete is heresy. You know what? I believe in having young men stand behind this pulpit. Lord willing, I want to get some more behind this pulpit. Men who are called and feel the calling of God. And you know what? There might be a young man that gets up there and preaches something. And they're not up there trying to preach heresy. It just might be an incomplete message. You know what? Can I encourage you what not to do? Don't go over there and put a look on your face like you've been sucking on sour lemons all day. If they say something, well, that ain't exactly the way I would have said it. Please, please, I'm asking you as the pastor of this church. You know me, I love you, but please sanctify that face. Because I know people that they believe in sanctification, but they don't know how to live it out in the way they act. Leave that alone. I'll get back behind this pulpit. Be a little bit further away if you want to throw your shoe at me. I'm just kidding. God help us. I don't believe Aquila and Priscilla sat back there with their arms crossed and their faces all twisted up and said, I can't, but can you believe this guy? He don't have the full story yet. You know what I believe they saw? They saw that young man as he was being moved on by God, as he was fervent in spirit, and they could tell he has a teachable spirit. Let's invite him over for lunch and let's see if we can show him something about what God is doing. Can I promise you, you'll be of more influence to young preachers and those who try to come through if you treat them with love and try to entreat them as a brother or sister than you will by simply getting offended and wanting to have nothing to hear what they're saying. I appreciate somebody who gets up in zeal. I appreciate it. Sometimes you got to put up the guardrails, make sure everything stays on track, but that can be done. The Bible says they took him unto them. They invited him into their home, into a conversation, into a safe space where truth could be shared with love. This is a beautiful model of spirit-led instruction and even of correction. Let's give you a few ways in which this is a beautiful model of spirit-led correction. This correction was done in private, not in public. I remember something from the shipyard, my business class I was taught in the apprentice school. Praise in public, criticize in private. I can take that to scripture. I can find examples. I believe that is right here. They didn't go up there and walk up to him at the front of the church aisle and meet him up there and say, "You know one thing, what you said isn't complete. There's more to the gospel than what you're preaching." No, they said, "Hey, would you come over and have a meal with us? We want to talk with you. We see that you've got a passion for doing what you do. Will you come over and have a conversation with us?" I encourage you, when correction has to happen, and from time to time it does have to happen, do it in private if possible. Matthew chapter 18, go to that person privately first. And then if that private conversation doesn't go well, then you get the two or three witnesses involved. Then if that don't go well, then you get the church involved. But notice what Matthew 18 never says. It never says to get Facebook involved. Not any of those places. Private, not public. It was gentle, not arrogant. It was constructive, not critical. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. How many people are there? They want to give some instruction, some correction, and they do it so critically. How do you expect somebody to receive correction from the Lord if you do it with a critical spirit? I'm not saying that the words that you're speaking are not right. I'm not here to tell you that you may not feel strongly about what you're saying. But make sure your spirit lines up with what needs to be said. It's the same way when you're trying to win your lost loved ones to Jesus. Yeah, you can be critical of them. You can go over there and run them down every chance you get. And the chances are they're probably never going to hear the message that you're saying. But if you'll stand up and in love try to show them the way and point them in the direction, you will have more success. You can take it to the bank. I may be young, but I am confident on that point. The Bible says they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Quite literally, they just opened up the scriptures. That's what the word expound means. If I could just put it very simply, they opened it up. This means they explained what was missing, likely the fulfillment of Christ's ministry, his death, his resurrection, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says simply, and Apollos received it. Oh, the ministry of teaching is not just for pulpits, it's for living rooms. It's for church functions. Because whenever you've tried to teach them how to do it 100 ways from Sunday and it doesn't seem like it's had any effect, why don't you show them how to do it? Live it out in front of them. Because a living sermon is worth 10 sermons that are preached. I believe that. Let somebody see you live it. Let's stand all over the building this morning. It's kind of going back and forth exactly how to close this message. I'll be honest, I got a lot more preaching, but don't have a lot more time. So the Bible says the outcome of that teachable spirit was that Apollos was equipped for greater ministry, and he went forth and convinced many. So in conclusion this morning, I want to quickly give you four things as to why we must stay teachable. Four things, and I'm giving them to you quickly, and we're going to pray corporately, and I'm going to dismiss you this morning. I was going to have a time around the altars, but I feel like this is one of those sermons we're going to go out and live it. I want you to stick it in your mind. Here's why staying teachable is essential. First of all, pride stunts progress. You can be mighty in scriptures and still be missing something. That was Apollos. He knew the word of God. He taught it passionately, but there was a gap in his understanding. And it wasn't because of his laziness. It wasn't because he was rebellious. It was simply because he hadn't heard the whole truth. What would have happened if he let pride keep him from learning? First thing is, I don't think we ever would have read about Apollos in the Bible. You wouldn't read about him here. You wouldn't read about him in 1 Corinthians. You wouldn't read about him in the other places he has mentioned. You wouldn't be reading about him. The moment you stop being teachable is the moment you're going to stop growing. The moment you stop being teachable is the moment you will stop growing. So, first of all, why we must stay teachable, pride stunts progress. Second of all, understanding truth is progressive. Apollos knew some, but he did not know all. And that's the truth for all of us. None of us have the full picture right away. I'll go ahead and burst the bubble of anybody who says, well, I think I've got a pretty good understanding on this. You still don't have the full picture. Let me remind you what Paul said. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, until that which is in part is done away with. We don't have it all. We don't know it all. But we're trying. Our understanding of Scripture deepens over time. Our view of God's ways matures as we face new seasons. Our theology is refined through study, through prayer, through experience, and through accountability. So understanding truth is a progressive effort. Third, the body needs each other. God designed the church as a body, not a bunch of self-sufficient individuals. Apollos needed Aquila and Priscilla. Paul needed Ananias when he was first saved. Timothy needed Paul's mentorship. And we need each other today. It's important for us to remain teachable because we need each other. And I need people that come up to me every once in a while and say, Brother Shane, have you considered doing this? I'm not being critical. And some of you have come to me and said that. And I appreciate that. I receive that. Because I can tell when people are critical. But somebody comes up to me and they says, I'm not trying to be critical, but have you considered? And most of the time the answer is no, I have not. Because I have a pretty one-track mind. I don't think of all these things. You know, that's a pretty good idea. Maybe sometimes I say, well, you know, I'll pray about it. And other times, no, I'm probably not going to do that. Now, if I say no, I promise you, I'm going to do my very best to give you a reason for saying no. If I reject it out of hand, I'll give you a reason. Fourth thing I'll give you, God exalts the teachable. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We need teachable spirit. Stay teachable, you will stay usable. But if you stop being teachable, you will realize God will not use you. God will not use you. I can't think of any scarier thought as a preacher of the gospel to think that God would stop using me. You say, Brother Shane, what about being lost? Well, that would eventually lead to that. But first is going to come God stopping to use me. I want to be teachable. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church. I felt to exhort them today from the example of Apollos to remain teachable, to maintain a spirit that is willing to admit when we are wrong, to gain understanding when we lack that understanding. And I pray, Lord, may we never outgrow the classroom of your Holy Spirit. Let us ever be learning. As Peter would write, and he would say in 2 Peter 3:18, that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I want this to be a growing church, not just numerically, although, Lord, I pray, send souls for your glory, but let it also be a growing church spiritually. But the only way we will grow is by being teachable, because when we stop being taught, we will stop growing. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, with ready hearts to receive what the Word of God says and to live it with our lives, with our lips, with all that we do, even to the intentions of our hearts, Father. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Help me say this morning, I want to be teachable. I want to be teachable. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed in the fear of the Lord.